Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great things you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the AFA-CWA and the West Virginia AFL-CIO. We appreciate their support. Joining me today on the phone, we've got Jim Dean with the, Democracy for America. Jim, what's up?
Hey, Charles, how's it going?
Man, I tell you what, if I call Senator Toomey one more time, I think I'm going to have to, like, ask his staffers out for dinner or something. I don't know. But I think it may be.
From you.
Sorry?
I said they're lucky to hear from you.
They hear from me. They're lucky to hear from me, and they're lucky to hear from me often and robustly. And I got to tell you, Jim, this whole thing about Trump Care has a whopping, 12% approval rating?
Yeah.
What the hell are they thinking?
Part of this is living in the bubble of Washington. Part of this is playing to a very small base who just don't give a damn. But the other part of it, I think, is, incredible hubris. I mean, they feel that they have to demonstrate that they can do something because they haven't been able to do anything. And that's really their own fault because they keep putting up proposals of one kind or another that are just simply unworkable and untenable with a great majority of Americans. I mean, listen, Toomey really ought to know better on this. I mean, here he is, representing a state that has a very, very large component of people who need this care, and that is a very diverse group of people who have benefited greatly from the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and to upend that, I think is just really incredible. And the fact that they're also trying to defund Planned Parenthood and a bunch of other stuff with this, it just shows that this is nothing but a political game. So, but the fact is, they can actually get this done. So we can't depend on somebody to come across the aisle and bail everybody out. We're going to have to make all those calls. And God bless you, Charles, for doing this. It's really important, and I'm really glad because it's an example to all of us. They listen to these calls. They tally them up. They know when you've called. And believe me, the conservative Tea Party caucus and the House of Representatives, there's a reason they wouldn't support health care. It wasn't because support the repeal. It wasn't because it was not conservative enough. They were scared of their own constituents who also were benefiting greatly from the Affordable Care Act and did not want it repealed. So we got to make our voice heard one more time. They're going to basically have this vote probably next week. After that, that's really going to be it. It's September 30th, the rules change, and they need 60 votes to do it, which they won't have. And then we're in an election year next year. So this really is the last shot. You'd like them to pass infrastructure improvements. You'd like them to pass other legislation and actually get something done, but they don't want to do that. Instead, they want to just tear something down that has at least benefited everybody. So, but we've got to make our voice heard. Otherwise, they're going to go ahead and do it.
Yeah, and now, if we manage to get as many people to call as called last time, last time Toomey voted to do away with the ACA, okay? I mean, my God, we're talking about they are acting on something that has 15% public approval, 15% public approval.
Well, this is, I'll tell you why they should know better, because Democrats who have slipped into the bubble of Washington and don't get out and start misunderstanding their own constituents, get turned out of office. And that can just as easily happen to Republicans as it did in 2006. So when they completely misunderstood the public on the war in Iraq. So, I think Toomey and, of these consultants, I can see this conversation right now, Charles. They're all saying, well, don't worry. We've got so much money in our campaign war chest. We'll just be able to televise our way out of this. And there are no decent candidates in Pennsylvania who can run against him. That is not true. And there are candidates out there. I may not know who all of them are, but they're definitely out there. And I would add that it doesn't matter about the TV ads. You got a guy that ends up voting to repeal this bill two times, as he has already done, three times, as he may well do. That's going to be enough to hang him. And I think that's enough to get him out of office. He's always been a big business guy, Chamber of Commerce guy. That actually it does not work, not just for Democrats, but it doesn't work for an awful lot of Republicans. People are really fed up with this stuff. You know, he ought to take a look across the aisle at his own counterpart, Bob Casey. You know, I've had some differences of opinion with Senator Casey, but this is one guy that's really got 2 feet on the ground. You go watch him speak in an audience, Charles. I mean, you know this. He really understands who his constituents are. You know, he's a regular person, and everybody gets that. And I have great respect for him for that. And Toomey is somebody who really doesn't have much time to get that together. Otherwise, he's going to be out of office next year.
Well, I hope so. Does that mean that you're moving to Pennsylvania, Jim?
Well, I'd like to, but we certainly would like to support that effort. And you know, there's just there's a lot going on there, we need to embrace and help a lot of these activists, be they in Pittsburgh, Gettysburg, Philadelphia, or Scranton. I mean, it really doesn't, you know, all over the place. We've got to make this work.
No, I agree with you, and that's the point. And now, I am hoping, and I think we're starting to see more and more people standing up and say, hey, you know what? Enough is enough. You know, stop this silliness.
Oh, yeah. It's huge. Hey, Charles, I may have mentioned this earlier in another time we were together, but more people are running for office now than I've seen since 2005 and 2006. The numbers, where they're available, bear this out. In Virginia, which has legislative elections this year, as well as a governor's race, probably for the first time, and certainly the first time in my memory, decades, there's a Democrat contesting, I think, all but 5 seats in the House of Delegates, their legislature. That has never happened before. Usually there's, you know, 30, there's been about 35, 36 incumbents, and then there's about 3 or 4 challengers that they spend a lot of money in, and then there's like 20 seats or so that go uncontested. That's not true. Not only are there candidates running in those seats, but they were primaries, Democratic primaries, in Republican strongholds in Virginia because so many people wanted to run. And as I mentioned probably earlier, in Gettysburg, I mean, there's 7 people that wanted, or the last count was 7 people who wanted to be in the Democratic primary to run against that party guy who represents that district there. So I think this is happening in a lot of places. You can't just get – it's harder to, when you get higher up the ladder, you know, it's harder to find a candidate who can really handle, you know, being a senator or whatever. But there's plenty of people that can do it. And let's face it, if there's one thing that came out of the presidential election, we don't have a high bar for running for office in this country. So come on down, file your papers, and start running, man.
Yeah, all you got to do is call it fake news and off you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one thing that Donald Trump did. He kind of, you don't have to worry about anything. Just call it fake news and chive on.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, you know, and the guy's already, I mean, anyway, he's pathological.
So the word of the day is just keep calling your senators and making sure that.
I think it matters. It really does. I mean, look, people know, and I call it that town in Washington, because people in Washington call it this town. But in that town, they know what those calls are doing. They know they were 300-1 in either the first or second time that that repeal of health care failed. So they're paying attention to that. And, you know, the consultants, they may not care to take their money anyway. But those senators, they're going to find out pretty soon that when those polls start coming out, that they're going to be held, they're getting held accountable. And at that point, it's too late. They can't squirm their way around it. People know that. They're sick and tired of hearing that kind of BS. You know, we've got to call and remind them that no matter what they're hearing, their seat is up for grabs, and their time in elected office is going to end if they vote to repeal this bill.
There you go. Jim, we got to go. How do we find out more about Democracy for America?
That's democracyforamerica.com. And Charles, thanks so much for all you're doing.
Jim, do me a favor, stay on the line as we transition into break. But in the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter, and you're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.